for a little something extra from the Appleseed. And now, here's your host, Sam Payne.
It's such a pleasure to have you with us on today's Appleseed Extra. You know, just about every day we bring you a full hour filled with stories for you and your family, all kinds of tales from all kinds of tellers. And we also like to post a little something extra, just a single story long, a few minutes, in case you've only got a few minutes and you want to fill those few minutes with a great story. And we've got one for you today. We're thinking about dads about this time, and we thought we'd bring you a story from Michael McCarty, a story that illustrates this special relationship that a dad and a daughter can have. It's a story that takes place over many years and is called That's My Baby. You're going to love it. Here's Michael McCarty on the Appleseed.
Now, when my daughter was born, it was very, very clear there were certain things she had inherited from moi. Besides good looks, the girl was loud. You know how some babies cry? Not my daughter, Carla. She could seemingly cry for hours on end and didn't seem to need to breathe. Now, let me give you a real serious example of her prowess at crying. Now, my daughter was born in 1970. This predates DVDs, video, so if you didn't see a movie in the theater, you weren't likely to see it again until it came on TV years later. So, if you found somebody who would watch your child for you and let you go to a movie, you jumped at the chance. So my best buddy, Herb, he comes by and says, Mike, why don't you all go to a movie and dinner? I'll watch Carla. We were out the door. Because if somebody gives you that opportunity, you don't give them a chance to change their mind. Now, you know how babies are. As soon as they figure out you're trying to get away and have some fun, Carla started crying. We ran out the door, down the steps, in the car, and went to downtown Chicago. And we went to a movie. And after the movie, we went to a real restaurant with metal silverware and glass plates and cloth napkins. Oh, it was glorious. It was like a week in the Bahamas. We were gone for maybe 4 or 5 hours. When we came back and opened up the door, Carla had never stopped crying for the entire 4 or 5 hours. My buddy Herb was standing there pulling his hair. And he ran out the door. And to this day, Herb is bald because of that incident. Now, when my daughter was young, she was such a sweet, obedient child. She would rush home from school, not only to do her homework, but then to help her friends with their homework so they could come outside and play. And she always wanted to do exactly as she was told. For example, now this all takes place in Chicago, and I would drop my daughter off at her elementary school. Because of the way I drove up, I was always on the opposite side of the street from the school. So when she was very young, I would walk her across the street. As she got older, I would make sure there was no traffic coming and then let her go across the street on her own. This particular morning, there's no traffic. I say, Carla, it's okay for you to go across the street.
But, Daddy,
she says,
they told us we have to cross the street down there.
At the other end of the block where there was a crossing guard. I said, yes, baby, they want somebody to look out for you. That's what I'm doing, so it's okay for you to cross the street here.
But, Daddy, they told us we have to cross the street down there.
I said, Carla, they don't want you to get hit by a car. Neither do I, so it's okay for you to cross the street here.
But Daddy, I said, get across that street! Get across that street! Go, go! And she goes across the street.
And I watched her walk into the school. Usually, at this point, I would pull off. But something made me wait. My father's sense was tingling. I just pulled across the next intersection behind another car. Here comes my daughter, Carla, back out to school, walking down the street so she can go across the street and then come back like she was supposed to. She was such a sweet, obedient child. And then one day, she became a teenager. This is how parents feel about the teenage years. One day you have this child who looks at you lovingly, "Oh, mommy, oh, daddy, I love you so much." And the next day they're looking at you like, "Whatever, talk to the hand. Am I really related to you? I'm so smart, where'd it come from?" Now, one of the greatest challenges for fathers of daughters during the teenage years is boyfriends. There's this whole program that kicks in with fathers when it comes to meeting boyfriends. In fact, there is an unwritten rule of fatherhood. You cannot smile when you first meet a boyfriend unless you have a weapon. So, my sister tells me one day, "Carla's out on the front porch with her boyfriend. I'm going to bring them in to meet you." And I said, "Okay." Because you got to have your father voice and also a crazed look in your eye. And if you can make your eyeballs go in different directions, that's all good. And if not, or to supplement that, at a strategic point in the conversation with the young boy, you let a big glob of drool drop out the corner of your mouth. So my sister brings the young boy in, and he's obviously all nervous. "Hi, Mr. McCarty." And I take his little hand, start crushing it, and he's looking all scared. And I said, "Boy, you ain't got to be scared. They made me put my guns away." And I let that glob of drool drop. Little boy liked to pass out. Interestingly enough, I did not meet another one of my daughter's boyfriends until a few years ago. Now, at this point in the story, my daughter is a junior in high school. My daughter always got good grades up until the middle of her junior year in high school when she got that attitude and she started bringing home these mediocre grades. Now, her mother is a brilliant woman who has never known anything but an A from kindergarten to her doctorate. And she kept telling her, "You got to do better. You got to do better. You're smart. You got to do better." One day, Carla came home with, I don't know what it was, a C, a D, maybe an F. And the mother said, "Okay, you don't want to study? That's just fine." She went with her the next day to school and withdrew her from school. She told her, "You go get a job, a full-time job, 40 hours a week, and all the overtime I can stand you doing." My daughter calls me up, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm not going to be able to graduate. I go to college." I said, "Look, Carla, you'll figure out the bought this on yourself thing soon enough. You're old enough to take the GED, get your equivalency diploma, and then you can go to a small college or a junior college, take some classes until you figure out what you want to do." "Okay." She recovered quickly. So she goes to Columbia College in Chicago and takes a writing class because she loves to write. One of the first assignments they had was to write about a moment of transformation in their lives. And this is what she wrote about. When she was about 9 or 10 years old, her and her little buddies who are her age, they liked to hang out with these older girls. Now, older meant they were a year or a year and a half older, and that half a year made them like Yoda. Now, these older girls liked to do things and talk about things that Carla and her little friends either had no interest in or knew they shouldn't be doing. These older girls liked to talk about boys. Carla and her little friends didn't care about no boys, but the older girls did it, so it was okay. These older girls like to sneak off and try to smoke cigarettes and use cuss words. And Carla and her little friends, they knew they shouldn't do that, but the older girls did it, so it was okay. One day, one of those older girls announced that she was having a birthday party. She was giving out invitations to all the kids in the neighborhood, everyone except my daughter Carla. And at first, Carla thought it was an oversight, but it became very clear that it was not. But she kept trying to get invited. all the way up until the day of the party, but she was literally turned away at the door. Now, the party was right across the street. As my daughter sat in the window, watching all of the rest of her friends go into that party, as she sat there with tears streaming down her face, she vowed then and there that never again in her life would she compromise her principles or beliefs to be with any individual or any group of people. She was 9 or 10 years old. I know people 30, 40, 90 years old haven't figured that out yet. So she keeps on taking classes and eventually decides that she wants to become a teacher. And in 1995, she graduated from the University of Illinois with a degree in education. Just before the graduation ceremony was about to commence, I pulled my daughter to the side and said, "Carla, it is my right, it is my duty as your father to embarrass you at this wonderful moment in your life. I said, when you go across that stage to get your diploma, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to yell at the top of my lungs, 'That's my baby!'" Not only did I do that, I didn't just stand up at my seat. I walked up to the front of the auditorium. I stood in front of those hundreds of people. And when my daughter crossed that stage, I pointed at her and yelled that much louder than you just heard. Now, my daughter knows me. She knows that I am going to do this. She knows that there is no escape. And she said, "Okay, Daddy, okay, Daddy, but Daddy, Daddy, please, Daddy, don't do your yell." I hadn't thought about that. And that's the end of that.
Michael McCarty with a story called "That's My Baby" here on the Appleseed. We always hope that the stories that we bring you here on the show spark memories and thoughts for you that you can share with the people that you love. And if that happens with a story like the story that you heard today, we encourage you to reach out and share those stories around the kitchen table or the living room. You can share with us, too. You can send us an email at theappleseed@byu.edu. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Sam Payne, and I can't wait to be with you again on The Appleseed.
Thanks for joining us for a little something extra from The Appleseed. Google The Appleseed Podcast and subscribe for something new just about every day. The Appleseed with Sam Payne.